Well, our topic for today is, do I have to come to church when I can watch the service on Facebook? And I must say that this title has already engendered a certain amount of interest in the church. So let's see what the Bible has to say about this topic. And our reading is Psalm 122. Psalm 122. The scriptures read thus. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord, according to the statute given to Israel. There stand the thrones for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be with you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. It's always good, I think, in our sermons at the church to look at contemporary and relevant themes which affect us today. And Mars has given me the title, Do I Have to Come to Church? And I've modified that title to Why Bother to Come to Church when I can just watch the service on Facebook. And this title has an origin in a remark that I overheard in church recently. And as shopping has moved online, we're seeing an increasing number of shops closing down, the high street becoming more and more deserted. So is the church going to go in the same direction? With church buildings becoming redundant and a whole service moving online. After all, church buildings are a constant headache. They are a great expense to maintain. It is very easy to sit at home and worship on a tablet or a computer. So is that how worship is going to be in the future? During the pandemic, being able to access services online or on television or radio if you don't have a computer has been a great blessing. I've spent a great deal of time listening to hymns on YouTube. The great advantage, of course, that you can choose your own hymns rather than relying on those chosen by the worship leader. Then there's a large range of Christian teaching, putting sermons online. Why listen to what City Bull Baptist Church has to offer when there are a great range of preachers available on the internet? Also, of course, you can listen to the services at your own convenience, instead of having to turn out at 10:30 on a Sunday morning. If you don't like what you're hearing, you can always switch off. Much more convenient and less conspicuous than walking out of the service. So is the church as we know it doomed? Does it have a future? And if so, what does that future look like? So, do I have to come to church? Well, the answer to that is no. Because coming to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to France makes you French. A Christian is a person who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their saviour. Not just someone who goes to church or even lives in a so-called Christian country. There are parts of the world where churches do not exist. There are Christians who are in prison for their faith. There are people who may be the only Christian in their family or in their village. The people confined the hospital beds. The fact they can't come to church doesn't make them any less of a Christian. And I believe that God makes special provision for such people. What did David say in Psalm 122, verse 1? Did he say, "Oh no, not the Sabbath again. I've got to go out to the house of the Lord"? No, he didn't say that. What he did say was, "I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord." So we rejoice on Sunday because it's time for us to go to the house of the Lord. So let me ask you an even more fundamental question. Why do you bother to get up in the morning? Wouldn't it be rather nice to lie in bed all day? It might be nice, but most of us get up for a variety of reasons. Some have to go in order to work. If we didn't work, they wouldn't afford a roof over our heads or food on the table. Others will get up in order to prepare breakfast. It's not easy to cook a dinner when you're lying in bed. Others will get up because they want to be with friends and family. Others will get up because they want to go out and enjoy themselves. There's also the simple physical fact that if we stayed in bed all day, that our muscles will very soon waste away through disuse. And it's just the same. If you didn't go to church, then your spiritual muscles would very soon decay and become useless. For some people, of course, the pandemic has changed all this. They've been advised to work at home rather than in the office. Now that suits many people, but I also know there are many who are longing to get back to face-to-face working once again, or to interact with their colleagues. There are those who cannot wait to go out for a meal in a restaurant again. For those who have not seen friends and relatives for months, and waiting for the lifting of restrictions on meeting people indoors. There are others who, having been denied a holiday for over a year, are looking forward to sunning themselves on some Mediterranean beach. For me, I think the thing I'm most looking forward to is consigning Zoom to the dustbin of history and getting back to prayer and meetings, proper meetings once again. For the past year, we've been staring up at our screens, having to do with telephone calls. But is that really how we want life to be? Do we want to get out and about again to meet one another personally? This brings us back to our question, do I need to go to church? And perhaps the more fundamental question of what is church actually for? Is it just somewhere that we attend on a Sunday morning at 10:30? Or is it really the body of Christ acting as a functional unit in order to serve God? In his 40 Days of Purpose course, which this church did about 15 years ago, Rick Warren lays out the five main purposes of the church. And any church which is faithfully serving God contain all five of these elements. They might not necessarily be balanced. Most churches are stronger on one point than another. But a properly functioning church will contain all five. And those five elements are worship, discipleship, that is learning together to become more effective Christians, pastoral care, looking after one another as part of the body of Christ, evangelism, and social action. So the question is, can these things be done online, or do they actually require people physically coming to church. So the first thing that we do when we come to church is to worship God. Psalm 122, verse 3. Jerusalem is built like a city. It is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord. So, there is a place where we gather together in order to praise the name of the Lord. And we have worship services which take place regularly throughout the year. These take place irrespective of the weather, the minister's illness, power cuts, and all the myriad other things which might affect other activities. The church service provides opportunities for people to worship, to pray together, and receive Bible teaching. And the church has a responsibility towards its membership to provide all these things. We read in Scripture that God delights in the worship of his people. And if we truly love him, then we will want to please him. Just as we want to please our husbands or our wives because we love them. Now, worship consists of two main parts. What we do on Sundays in church and serving one another. I never tire of quoting Romans 12 and verse 1, which is the biblical definition of what worship is. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, says Paul, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship, was the old version of the Bible puts it, your spiritual service. The first kind of worship is telling God that we love him. We do this through singing and through prayer. Again, Psalm 122, verse 4. People meet to praise the name of the Lord. Psalm 149, verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of his people. Psalm 150, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise God. In his sanctuary. Come together to praise, to worship and sing. That is a biblical command. And that type of worship is going to vary from the Latin Mass through to the exuberant arm waving, jumping up and down type of service. And I'm sure that both are equally acceptable to God unless they are genuine and as long as they come from the heart. Sometimes we sing in praise, and sometimes we praise God in prayer. Psalm 122, verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love be secure. We meet in church to pray for one another. Hymns like, breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew. That I may love as thou dost love, and do what thou wouldst do. That's a prayer to God. It's a prayer of worship. Well, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. These are prayers like God to God to make us more like the Lord Jesus. But does this worship have to be done in church? Or can we listen to the hymns on YouTube? Or even just songs of praise on the television. In church, we have a worship leader. And their job, strangely enough, is to lead worship. It's their task to attune people's hearts to worship God by choosing the right songs and present them in such a way as to engender the spirit of worship in people's hearts. A good worship leader will do that more effectively than someone worshipping on their own. The next job that we have to do in the manse is to repair a hole in the ceiling. Now, I could go to the manse mix up some plaster and repair the hole in the ceiling. It would probably last all of 5 minutes. So we employ a plasterer to go and do the job properly. In this church, we similarly have a worship leader, a man or woman who is skilled in leading worship and who will do a good job at leading the church in praise to God. But the second half of worship is service. Psalm 122, verses 7 and 8. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadel. For the sake of my friends and family, I will say, peace be with you. David went to the house of the Lord for the sake of his friends and his family. There are many people who get up in the morning in order to go to work. And the reason we go to church is also to work and to serve. The old song says, there's a work for Jesus ready at your hand. 'Tis a task the Master just for you has planned. Haste to do his bidding, yield him service true. There's a task for Jesus none but you can do. Now, it may come as a shock to some people that church is not just turning up on a Sunday morning, but actually doing some service for Jesus. This service may be a spiritual one, such as meeting with someone, ministering to their needs. Or it could be a practical one, such as helping out financially or doing a job that needs doing. There is someone in our church who has quietly volunteered to feed the fish in the manse pond. Now, I wasn't even aware there were any fish in the manse pond. But someone saw it as a practical job that needed doing and just got on with it. And there are many people in this church who quietly and behind the scenes perform some simple service for the Lord. Remember the words of Jesus in Matthew 25:40. Inasmuch as you did it for one of the least of these my brethren, you did it for me. Now, the church is likened by Paul to a body with many parts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And Paul then goes on to look at all the different body parts, arguing that all are vital to the function of the body as a whole. Now, there was a time when the Sunday service had just two participants. The minister, who led the worship and preached the sermon, and the organist. Nowadays, of course, a Sunday service is a complex organisation. The sound desk, the musicians, the singers, the door welcomers, the worship leader, the refreshment makers, the preacher, and of course Bev to keep everyone in order. If any of those people failed to turn up to the service, then the service would be so much the poorer. God has given the various members of the church different gifts and talents to fulfil each of those roles. I could never operate the sound desk or play a musical instrument. But there are those who can. And as Christians, they use their gifts freely to the glory of God. Now, one of the organisations which the Ladies of the Bright Hat support is the Leprosy Mission. Now, leprosy is a terrible disease in which parts of the body die and eventually become lost. And when the limb is separated from the body, then it becomes useless and lifeless and no good to anyone. Similarly, the body is then incomplete. The person can no longer do some of the things that they used to. All suffer. And so it is with the body of the church. If one member is missing, then the whole church suffers, because either the thing that they used to do is not done, or it's done by somebody else who is less good at it. There's also the danger that the faith of the person who absents themselves from the church will wither and die. It requires a certain discipline to come to church on a Sunday. Watching the service online is all right for a time, but there's a great temptation for the service then to be squeezed out within our busy schedule. There's also the joy of having fellowship together. This again is mentioned in Psalm 122. The joy of meeting together. There are many people who go to work and enjoy their jobs. Just there are many people who find joy in worshipping together. While some Christian service can be performed using a computer screen or by phone calls, the majority require the physical presence of the person performing the service. So if the first reason to get up in the morning is to go to work, then the second is probably to get breakfast. If you just stayed in bed all day, you'd soon starve, unless someone else got your meals for you. So just as the body requires food, so the Christian requires spiritual food. The writer of the Hebrews refers to this in terms of meat and milk, as does Paul in 1 Corinthians 3. Hebrews 5:13-16 reads thus: by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish between good and evil. But surely, can't we just stay at home, read the Bible and other good Christian books, and grow in that way? Is that good enough? Why come to church? When schools were closed in the early part of the pandemic, there was a great deal of concern about the effect on children's education and on their mental health. So, the first thing the Prime Minister did was to reopen schools. And that was a decision which was widely applauded. Whilst it's certainly possible to move teaching online, it had been widely recognised to be a very poor substitute for actual face-to-face teaching and children getting together in classes to see their friends. The job of the teacher, and also of the preacher in church, is to explain things simply enough that people can understand them and benefit from them. The teacher will use experience, examples, and visual aids to get the message across. That, of course, is exactly what Jesus did in his teaching, although he didn't have the benefit of video clips. It's also necessary, as Jesus always did, to explain the scriptures in a way that is relevant to our own daily lives. Some which involves not only imparting Christian theology, although we do seek to do that, but making it relevant to people's situation today. Also, if you go to church, you have the opportunity to ask questions in the same way that a student is able to ask questions of the teacher. Sometimes I get approached after the sermon when somebody's got a question. More often, this type of discussion takes place in house groups or in meetings like Digging Deeper. That's why we encourage people to attend house groups in this church, so that we can question and discuss some of the great truths of God. Well, the third reason we get up in the mornings is to go out and meet friends. Again, in Psalm 122, David says that he went to the house of the Lord in order to meet other people. During the earlier phases of the lockdown, the daily exercise in the fresh air was often the highlight of the day, along, of course, with the essential shopping. And some of you who have been able to get out may have enjoyed the beauty of the countryside, noticed small flowers you hadn't seen before, and listened to the songs of the birds. Many people go out and go to church in order to meet their friends. And visitation is a very important part of the Christian ministry. In the early phases of the lockdown, I went for my daily walk out in the countryside, and I came across a group of ladies from the Bright Hour sitting under a tree drinking coffee. Social distance, of course, and in groups of six. They did that because they wanted to have fellowship together, to be together as a group. Yes, of course you'd have fellowship over the telephone, as my phone bill proves, but it's no substitute for actually meeting people in the flesh. So why is fellowship important? Because we're told in Scripture we need to encourage and care for one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore encourage one another and build each other up just as you are doing. Or 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our troubles, that we may comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves receive from God. And this links in with the verse most often quoted to encourage church going, that is Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. So according to Hebrews, the main purpose of coming to church is for mutual encouragement. How do we achieve this? Well, through the main elements of the church service, singing Christian hymns and praying for one another and hearing the word of God. But also it goes beyond this, because all those things can to some extent be done online. The thing most people tell me they miss about being in church is not being able to sing. Indeed, some have actually said they won't be returning to church until singing recommences, which hopefully will occur towards the end of June. There's something uplifting about being able to praise God at the top of your voice. And many of us who attend Christian conferences know what it's like to praise God along with thousands of other people. It's easier and better to worship in church settings along with other people. There's always the personal encouragement too, which comes from conversations. Now this is the work that is done over the refreshments after the service, or the current time standing in the road outside after the service, not obstructing the pavement, of course. That's when we have private conversations with people and when we can seek to encourage them. And pastoral care is a very important part of the ministry of the church. If you don't go to the service, then there's a very great danger of your dropping out of the system. Then your needs are not prayed for. You're not encouraged. People don't help you because they remain unaware of your need. The fourth reason why we come to church is to be a witness to the community through social action. It's totally impossible to do the work of the food bank, street pastors, contact centre, or street evangelism online. It just can't be done. Social action is part of the church's life because it involves going out into the community and sharing the love of Christ. And if possible, the gospel message too. We show our love for God in the things that we do for him. In his great prayer for the church in John 17, Jesus says in verse 18, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." Jesus sent his disciples into the world in order to preach the gospel. Satan will do everything in his power to prevent this from happening. One of the ways that he does this is to encourage people to live an easy life. A few weeks ago, Gareth spoke to us about the temptations of Jesus. And two of those three temptations were encouraging Jesus to take the easy way out. "Make these stones into bread," was the first of the temptations. Why work for a living when you can just turn an inanimate object into your daily food? The final temptation was to gain power in an easy way. "All the kings of the world I will give you if you bow down and worship me," said Satan. But Jesus didn't take the easy way out. He remained faithful to God's word, even though he knew that those things would bring him hardship and sorrow. No, the Christian life is not going to be easy. It's going to involve sacrifice and hard work. It may involve ridicule and persecution. The task we do for the Lord may not be spectacular, but the requirement is that we should be faithful in the task that God has allotted to us. The final function of the church, according to Writ 1, is that of evangelism. This, of course, takes many forms, and God uses many means to bring people to himself. Evangelism can be done at home on a one-to-one basis, as we share the knowledge of Christ with our friends. But two forms of evangelism, at least, do involve the church. Sometimes we invite people along to services. We may find it hard perhaps to witness personally, but we find that we need to come along to have a church service, particularly if it's a special service like Easter or Christmas. Then, of course, the church from time to time organises Alpha courses. There are people in our church fellowship today who have come to Christ because this church has organised an Alpha course. And like so many things, these take a lot of people to organise, and a lot of people backing them up in prayer if they are to be effective. In short, they require the church. So there are many good reasons, I think, why we need to actually come to the church building. The church needs us, and we need the church. This is the opportunity to find joy in worship and service, and for a short time at least, provides you with the opportunity to focus your mind on God. It's so easy to forget him in our busy daily lives. When we come to church, we are showing God that we love him and want to devote time to him. And in return, he will bless us in our worship. and bless us in our service. So I do pray that when the church fully resumes all its activities, probably at the end of June, then we will find each and every one of you in church, worshipping God and providing the service to everyone and to the Lord, which he has designed just for you. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, first of all, we'd like to thank you for instituting the church, providing a focus for those who love you to meet and to worship together. In particular, Lord, we thank you for our church, the fellowship to which you have called us, the fellowship in which you have called us to worship and to serve. Then, Lord, we will pray for our role within your church here, a task which you have planned just for us. Help us, Lord, to be willing to fulfill that task in the power of your Holy Spirit and to the best of our ability. And truly, Lord, we pray that you will help us to love and to serve one another as part of the body of Christ, so that your name might be glorified here in this place. Amen.